blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of 365.
wish to read from God's holy and precious word out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are together in thy house upon thy day once again. And thou knowest the season that we have entered, for in this world it is all around us commemoration. that is of the world, that is all that is carnal, that is earthly, that is sensual. And thou knowest all that we have done with what thou hast given unto us, O all. That thou givest to us, we do destroy. It was so in paradise when thou gavest unto us a good creation. We ourselves created in thy image, and we have so destroyed it that we are dead in trespasses and sins. And when thou givest unto us thy only begotten Son into this world, then we have destroyed it again in all of our carnal celebrations in the midst of this world. And we can say that is of the world, and we are not involved in the world. Oh, may it be so, Lord, keep each one of us. But who can say that his heart is not in the world? Oh, then we need to be kept by thee, and we need to be shown what thy servant did say. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, that thou may open the eyes of our children and our youth in a special way. And when they see all the glamour all around them, oh, that thou would take away the desire for all of these things, and that they may be given so to behold that unspeakable gift that thou hast given in the midst of this world, that it may be for that which they so stand in need of themselves, that they may know what it is to be forgiven all of their iniquity and all of their sin. O Lord, who art thou? Oh, that we might be given to know who that thou art, thou the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Oh, that there may be a need for him within our hearts, each and every one of us, a room made, a ground, hard ground that is plowed up, and that is cultivated, that is made soft by thy Holy Spirit, impressionable not only in a natural way, but by thy Holy Spirit, so that there is a place, a well-prepared ground for thy seed, the seed of thy word, to fall in. Oh, that the hearing of his name may be precious unto a people also in the midst of us. He was in the world, thy servant did say, and the world knew him not. Oh, they are blinded, because there is no desire after all that he has to give. But, O Lord, he came also unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, they also were blinded. They had their own religion, and they had no place of true humility before thee. Oh, do keep us, O Lord. But we read, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believed on his name. O Lord, O give to us that true and saving faith, O that there may be a preciousness born within our hearts. We do not see it by nature, but we, thy servant did say, even those who were born not of the will of the flesh and nor of the will of man, but they who were born of God. O Lord, this is what we stand in need of. We beseech it from thee, because if we may be born of thee, if we may have that gift of saving faith planted in our hearts, Oh, thou wilt lead it also to that blessed object, that is thy dear and only begotten Son, whom thou hast sent into the world to save sinners, poor and miserable, undone sinners. Oh, that it might be known who and what we are. Oh, that we might be given to know what our sins and miseries are, not only, but how great that our sins and our miseries are, that we are so dead in sins and in trespasses, and that we are unable to take the least movement toward thee, that we cannot even desire a true desire, that we cannot even sigh a true sigh toward thee, because we are opposed to thee with every nerve and muscle in our whole body and mind. We are enemies of thee. Oh, our eyes are so blinded. Our hearts are so hardened. Oh, we are so rebellious, even born out of our father Adam. Oh, that thou mayst show it unto us, that we may truly smite upon our breast and cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord, here we try to come before thee this afternoon, and we do not know how to pray and to lay before thee all of our needs. But, O thou dost hear the groans and the sighs that are sent up to thee out of the land of bondage. Oh, could it be that it is so coming up before the throne of God also in this afternoon, out of a land of bondage, of iniquity and sin, a people who are not able to deliver themselves from that prince of darkness. Oh, that to sigh and that to cry under that great burden, and that they may desire to be delivered by thee. Oh, who do not see how it is possible, because the power of that enemy is so very, very great, and they have no might against that great company that cometh against them. Oh, Lord, then the solution that lies in thee, it lies in the Savior that thou hast sent into the world, in thy great love and in thy mercy and in thy grace. But we need eyes to behold him, Lord. Oh, we need thy Holy Spirit to come unto us, to open unto us what we are, and to show unto us who and what thou art, for a guilty and an undone sinner. Oh, grant it also in this afternoon. It all must come from thee. Oh, care for us, Lord, and when we have no interest in these things, and when we have yet a heart that is so carnal, all that is so worldly, that is as we have been born, and it will be to the day and to the moment of our death, unless thou dost stop us in our mad career, unless thou dost say thus far and no further, there is not one of us that is different. We are all cut out of that same cloth. Oh Lord, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, show it unto us. Deliver us therefrom. Look upon us in thy mercy and care for all the needy in the midst of this world and also in the midst of the congregation. And they are known each one to thee in their place. Look upon the little children that do struggle also for life. Thou givest it well thus far. One yet in the hospital, one at home. And Lord, wilt thou give also what is necessary further for those children and for those parents, patients, and all the way wherein that thou dost lead them, and that thou may humble others under thy great goodness of well-born children. But we are still all the same. All we are born dead in trespasses and in sins. And each and every one of them, oh, they have life here now in this sin-cursed world. But, Lord, they need life that is from heaven. Oh, could it be, and that it may yet appear upon all this, upon all of our deadness. Look upon us and all the needy, the widows, the widowers, the orphans, the sick ones, the weak ones, those that receive treatments, all those that have difficulties in family life, parents, children, relations, oh Lord, all subject to the consequences of all of our own sin, oh, that we may be given to see all our troubles as such, that we may put our hands in our own bosoms, and they come out completely leprous. Oh, then we can only confess it before Thee, ask for forgiveness, and ask for patience in all the way that Thou dost lead us in this life. Look upon us as a consistory, and when we hope to come together also with our male members in this week, O Lord, we beseech Thee, Thou knowest all of our needs. Thou knowest the weight that Thou dost lay upon us as consistory members, and Thou knowest what we stand in need of to go further. Oh, that Thou may grant men who are of Thy choosing, or they are not of their own choosing. Lord, Thou art able to incline the heart. Show us now who that they must be, and wilt Thou work within them, or that they might be enabled to give themselves to this work. Oh, we can read of Thy servant Moses. He was so unwilling. Lord, He was willing at one time, but all that willingness was taken away. And then when He was not willing anymore, oh, then Thou didst say it was time for Him to go. Oh, Lord, that Thou may do for us wonders from heaven, and help Thou us, and give us men to serve in the midst of us as Thou alone art able. And wilt Thou bless the labors in the midst of us as a congregation with young and old and so many that, as it were, do not know the right hand from their left, children and young people in the midst of us who are also in the midst of this world wherein Satan is so strong. Lord, give parents, give teachers, give office bearers, and give us help from above to show them the way, to lead them in the way, to ourselves be going before them as an example, and that Thou mayest bless Thy holy word. Be Thou with us, O Lord, in this hour. Help us to bring this Thy holy word, a little word, but all that is so full of meaning. And but we need eyes to behold it ourselves in order that we may bring it. And it all must come from Thee. Oh, do it then for Thy great and holy name's sake, forgiving all of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and He will make my needs His care. I trust Him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. And what follows, 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 210. beloved congregation, it is the beginning of the Advent season. What is Advent? In Advent, there is a looking forward. There is a looking forward to the future. There is hope. There is a certain expectation. We see that much in the world around us, don't we, children and young people? Because we see around us, the world is very, very busy. And there is an expectation to receive what? Worldly things, earthly things, carnal things. And you know how long and that they satisfy. I think you know that already when you are young, don't you? You look forward to it, maybe a long time, to your birthday, and you receive a gift, and then, oh, pretty soon, you say, it does not give me really what I had thought. So there are also so many disappointments. I hope that you are not jealous of the world in the weeks wherein we are, but that you who know that there is another gift, an unspeakable gift that is spoken of in the Word of God, that you may go on your knees and that you may say, O Lord, wilt thou give me that gift? O Advent, that is looking forward. We don't know what the future is. You say, how does a man look forward? What does he look forward to? Well, the Bible says that people, they look forward to tomorrow. That tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. Well, is that true? Oh, it may be true. It may be true for us tomorrow. But we don't know that, do we? Because we don't know what happens in this hour. And we do not know what happens today or tomorrow. And so what a thing to rest upon. As such an expectation and such a hope. Who knows the future? God alone. God alone. And he is the provider also for the future. And thus, any hope, any good hope, any hope that is to be fulfilled, that is all coming from him. The only good hope that we may have is a hope in what God himself promises. And that is now what Advent is all about. What God has promised, to whom he has promised it, to a remnant who are not able to do without that gift that he has promised. Oh, blessed are those people who may so hope in him. Our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the chapter that was read to you, Isaiah 11, and thereof the first verse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So far the words of our text. God's promise concerning the stem of Jesse. First, the stem. Second, the promise. God's promise concerning the stem of Jesse. First, the stem. Second, the promise. What was, congregation, the first promise? You know that, children. The first promise, that is in Genesis 3, verse 15, that was not spoken directly to our first parents, but it was spoken as a threat, as a curse unto the devil himself, and that was said in the hearing of our first parents, that God was going to put enmity between thee and the woman. And that enmity, that was who? That was the Lord Jesus himself. He was going to bruise Satan's head, and Satan would bruise his heel. What does that mean? That means that Christ was going to have power over the devil. We know that Adam and Eve did not have that power, or they have succumbed to the temptation. And now they have brought themselves in a very, very deep pit. And now the Lord says, I am going to send one that is going to be the seed of that woman. He is going to be of that human race, and he is going to be more powerful than Satan and all of his temptations, and he is going to deliver that true church out of that deep, deep pit that they cannot deliver themselves out of. Or if it was not for this promise, then Adam and Eve would have been sent out of that garden in a complete despair, because there was no such promise for them in that old covenant. In that old covenant, which said, do this and thou shalt live, and if thou doest not, thou shalt die. That is all that it was. In that old covenant, there was no mediator. In that old covenant, there was no reconciliation after sin. And therefore, it was necessary that the Lord would bring in a new covenant. And thus, we have that promise. It was 4,000 years between that time of that first promise that went out to our first parents until the time that that promise was fulfilled. That is a long time, 4,000 years. It is said that the wheels of God's providence turn slowly, but those wheels, they turn surely, they turn certainly. Between that first promise and the fulfillment, because it was 4,000 years, there were also times that the Lord came back upon that promise. He came back to renew that promise, because the Lord knew that for his people, that to wait for 4,000 years, that was a very long time. And thus, for the sake of his own children, the Lord came back again to Habakkuk. He says, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it shall speak and not lie. Therefore, he says, wait for it. Though it tarry, wait for it will surely come and not tarry. It cannot be forever unfulfilled, because God is not a man that he should lie. No, there is a certainty when the Lord is promising that everything that the Lord's promising, that is going to come to pass. And then when the Lord would come and he would renew that promise, and the Lord would show something else very often. So he would give some more instruction to his people, that faith may have an object, because faith, that is not just believing anything, and it is not that it knows not what it believes, but faith needs an object. It needs something to believe. Thus, when a man believes, then he believes something. Thus, Jacob, when he was old and he was lying on his deathbed, and we can read that by the Spirit of the Lord, he also prophesied. Judah, thou art he. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. And thus it was that the Lord further reveals unto his people something about that promise, that they might know now that that promise will be fulfilled not only by one of that human race, but it is going to come through that tribe of Judah. And then we know the Lord has instituted the children of Israel as a theocratic nation. And so they come to Mount Sinai, and there the Lord gives to them his law, civil laws like every nation has. That was theocratic. He was the governor. He gave the laws. We have the civil laws from our natural governors. And then the Lord gave the moral law. He gave his moral law especially unto his people. They had that already, of course. But that was that the Lord gave it to them as a nation, saying, you are now my people. And then not only the moral law, but the Lord gave to them the ceremonial law. Thus, that ceremonial law, what was that? That was a confirmation, that was an establishing of that promise. Because in that ceremonial law, there was all the representations of him that was to come. And so we can see in so many ways, and there are so many, there is so much different instruction within that tabernacle, so many things that are pointing the Lord Jesus Christ, that the people of the Old Testament had received much instruction concerning him that was to come. Later on, then we know that the Lord has established also David upon the throne of the kingdom. And then we know that the Lord has also given promise unto David. And he was set as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as a king. Thus, there is that further revelation as time is going on in those 4,000 years that the Lord is strengthening his church, that waiting church for 4,000 years, waiting for the promise of the Lord to be fulfilled. But the Lord was not a land of outer darkness to them, no. But the Lord was coming unto them, and the Lord was instructing them continually more and more in who that mediator would be. Oh, how that tribe of Judah, how that they did glory in their heritage. Oh, we can read that in the Word of God. They did glory in those promises that the Lord had given to them, not only as a nation, but they had given to them especially as a tribe. Oh, what did they glory in more than the promises of God? Well, there was a problem. And what was that problem? That problem was that there was a difference between Israel as a nation and the elect. Thus, Paul speaks about that difference. He says, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. And so we have that nation, and we have that tribe, the tribe of Judah, in a very special way, that has lifted themselves up. Because that tribe, in a special way, was trusting in those promises of the Lord, which actually in their own heart they had no place for. And when there was no place for those promises, then actually in a personal way, those promises were not for them. Thus, that was a very dangerous thing, claiming those promises, and yet they were missing what was for themselves. Thus, they were haughty, and they were lifted up with the promise of God. They boasted. They boasted about being the children of God, God's children, and all the nations of the world. Oh, they are not God's children. No, we are God's children. And the prophets naturally the prophets have preached. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and they have spoken to the men of Judah. Oh, they have spoken unto them what the promises of God were, and that it may be that they would turn away from their iniquity, and that they also would desire that promise for themselves. That is the same today. That is the same in the midst of the visible church. Then those prophets, they did not say, well, I'm speaking now, and those promises, they are heard only by the remnant. No, they don't know who the elect are. Those promises, they are going out to everyone, as were the threats. As were the threats, that was the same. And they are heard by everyone. But congregation, what was the promise? And what is the promise? What does our text say? And there shall come a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Thus a rod. What is a rod? It is a branch. It is a twig. It says it shall come forth. And to come forth means to spring up. It will come forth as a sprout, as a new growth. Out of a stem. What is a stem? We call a stem a trunk or a stump. The stump of a tree. You ever see a stump of a tree, boys and girls? What is that? The stump of a tree. Well, you say that is a tree that is cut down. That is right. You say that tree is dead. And now there is no question that by this rod and by this branch that we read of further, we have a picture in the Word of God of the Messiah that was promised, that Messiah that was to come. And now by this Judah and that throne of David, we have a picture of this stem or this stump. Thus, the Lord declares how. He does not only say what that promise is. He says how that this promise is going to be fulfilled. And that promise is not going to be fulfilled as that boastful Judah thought it was going to be fulfilled. It was not going to be fulfilled in a way that Judah and that house of David expected. Namely, that the Messiah was not going to come while that people were in a green and in a flourishing condition. Just the opposite. But it was going to come when that people were a stem, when that people were a stump. This people boasting of those promises of God, all that people had so very much to learn. They had much to learn about how that God fulfills his own promises. There was nothing that was more difficult for Jeremiah. It was Jeremiah, children. He was the weeping prophet, right? Wrote Jeremiah, but also Lamentations. He wept over that people. And now what was so very, very difficult for Jeremiah, when he preached unto Judah, and he said unto them, bow your necks under your judgment, fall unto the enemy. Oh, that is not just the enemy that is coming against you, that is God's judgment. You need now first to acknowledge. You need to acknowledge your guilt. You need to acknowledge your sin. And there is no way for that promise to be fulfilled except that you are first laying in that land of bondage. That was no easy task for Jeremiah. He was persecuted. They put him in the stocks. They threw him in the prison. They cast him in the dungeon. He fell down and sank and wallowed in the mire. Ah, he was persecuted. Why? Oh, he said, humble yourself. Humble yourself under the hand of God, unto a people who were so optimistic about the promises of God. But Judah did not want to receive those promises without acknowledging their sin, without going in that way of humiliation. No, and they were all optimism. They said that it's going to come when we continue to grow and grow and grow. And that is now the way that promise is going to be fulfilled. What did they not want? They did not want to be cut off. They did not want to be a stump. You want to be a stump? You want your flourishing tree, the religious tree, to be cut down? We do not want that either. We want to maintain our life. We want to believe the promise. But we don't want to repent of our sin. And we don't want to be humbled before the Lord. Well, what now does that promise say? That promise says that it is going to be fulfilled when my people are in a certain condition, and there shall come a rod out of the stem, out of the stump of Jesse, the proud kingdom, religious kingdom, not worldly kingdom, no. Religious kingdom, that proud religious kingdom had to be cut down with all the promises that were from him. They were all from the Lord. But with those promises and with all their expectations, they had to be cut down. This is the way. This is the way that promise of the Lord came to them. But Judah did not want to hear that part. They only listened to part. All they say, well, that's the encouraging part. But there is also a reality. And they wanted to maintain themselves among the nations of the world. We are God's people. Oh, sometimes, sure, they were discouraged. What do we read in the Word of God? In their discouragements, they said, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Discouraged? Oh, sure, discouragements, but we will rise up again. We will do it again. The promise of the Messiah congregation is preached. That is preached in the visible church. Oh, how the visible church rejoices in it. That is also so in this season in a special way, isn't it? Young people, or even in the Christian churches over the whole world, then there is so much rejoicing, and we are glad that there is an acknowledgement. We hear sometimes those worldly songs, and you say, what a grief. That is true. On the other hand, oh, let us remember, they could be Muslim songs. So, congregation, we still have so much. We still have so much to be thankful for in the country wherein we are. But what does it all mean for us? Because the visible church rejoices. in the promise of the coming of his Son. Maybe we do the same thing in this season. But how it is now that the Lord declares that that promise is going to be fulfilled in his church. How is that? That is only through the cutting off. The Messiah is not going to appear to a people who are on the throne. When the people are on the throne, oh, then it is not time for that Messiah to come yet. Oh, then we need first to be dethroned. We need first to be brought into the dust. We need first to be cut down. Do you believe this? Or do you think that this rod, this sprout, this branch is now going to appear on the flourishing religious tree of our life? Then we are doing all of our duties, you say, as we ought to do, and then in such a way that that Messiah is going to appear unto us. That is not what the promise says. That is a delusion. Christ says, the Son of Man, he is come to seek and to save that which is, children, lost. Lost. And that is why we read here about a stump, about a tree that has been cut down. The Lord does not only say believe, he says, repent and believe. And now that repentance is that something now we want just to skip over so that there is no place, so that there is no becoming a stump, that there is no death, or we will not have the tree of our life to be cut down. We resist it. Skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. But did the Lord ever become too strong for us? He became too strong for Judah. He became too strong for them in his mercy that he may save them from that misconception that they had about the fulfillment of the promises of God. What did he do? He sent the enemy, in all their strength, he sent them against his own people. We read in the Word of God that they were a rod, they were a stick in the hand of the Lord, the enemy themselves. The enemy did not, they had their own purpose, but God had his purpose. He said, my people, that is not the way. That is not the way that you can receive this mediator. What did he do with that stick? Oh, that the throne of David, cut it off. Bring that king off of that throne. And bring that king down into the land of the enemy. The tree of Jesse, cut it down till it is only a stem, until it is only a stump, until it is laid low. Then all the boasting, that is gone. That is gone. Where are they now? They are weeping. They're weeping. They're weeping in a strange land. They're weeping under bondage. Weeping where the enemy is saying, where is now thy God? Where are all the promises that you boasted of? Sing us now one of the songs of Zion. 380. 1, 2, and 3. By Babel's river side, we sat in tears, remembering Zion's pride in former years, while on the weeping willows there were hung the harps our grief had silenced and unstrung. 1, 2, and 3 of 380. Shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How different, congregation, everything has become. All the boasting has ceased. everything has become quiet, and that people don't know it anymore. That people, they say everything has gone so different than we thought, because we thought it was going to go from strength to strength. But it has all now turned out so differently. Where are we now lying? We are now lying in the hands of the enemy. Oh, and then for a long time, they are in the hand of that enemy. And everything in their opinion has gone in the wrong way. Because instead of going forward, then everything has gone backward. Instead of increasing, everything has decreased. Instead of growing, they say, I have been cut off. Oh, where is now the promise? Where is now the promise of the Lord? Shall I his promise, faithless, find the promise that is coming to nothing? Is that so? Is that really so? Or what is that promise? Shall we read that promise to you again? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Out of what? Out of the stem, out of the stump of Jesse? Does it really say that? I have never heard that. I have never read that. Not my whole life in that Word of God. Oh, what a light. What a light now comes into the life, into the soul of this people. Light upon what? It is light upon that promise. Oh, it is light upon the promise, and to whom that promise is directed. By nature, we do not behold for whom that promise is. We don't want to. We don't want to. What do we want? Well, we want that the promise that is now for everyone. Why? Because we want to maintain ourselves. Because we don't want to be cut off. But when the Lord now cuts us off, and the Lord makes us into that dead stump, and then the Lord reveals to us, and he opens our eyes, just for whom that promise is, oh then it is a great wonder in our life. And now here is a people who are sitting in despondency, who are sitting in despair because of their own iniquity. And now when the Lord shows to them for whom that promise is, oh, then it becomes for the first time in their life possible. Possible. Why? Because that promise is directed to just such persons as I am. Oh, and now is the first hope upon the promise. The first hope. You say, can that people cast themselves upon that promise? Oh, they would say, no, I do not dare say, but there is hope. Hope. there is the slightest relief. And if there is the slightest relief, that means that there was a little resting. A little resting. A little hoping. Hoping against hope upon that promise. And now, oh, how much lies in that promise for those people. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, a rod that is a sprout. A little sprout, a tender sprout, and that sprout is what? Life. Life. All that is just what they do not have. All they feel the death. They feel the death, and now there is life. Oh, when that kingdom of David was cut down, then the root, we read here of the root, and that root that still lay in the earth. And what is that root? Oh, that is the promise. It is that covenant of God. And that covenant of God is a covenant that can never be uprooted. To all appearances, the kingdom of David is finished. In the eyes of all the world and everyone that is around, then that whole kingdom has been destroyed. They are under subjection. But it is now just the time that the Lord said he is going to cause that Messiah to appear on the earth to deliver his church from sin. And he is going to come as a rod, as a branch, as a shoot of new life. New life springing forth right out of that kingdom that was brought so low upon the face of the earth. You say, how is that possible? Or can there any good thing come out of that kingdom of Judah? Is there any virtue? Who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? All that is... That is right, but there is more. There is more. Because it is not only that kingdom of Judah, no, but how shall he, when we go back to that first promise, and he shall be the seed of the woman, and that woman, oh, she is part of that human race, oh, that is a human race that is now dead. Dead. It can bring forth nothing but dead. How now shall it ever bring forth this sprout of life? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. They shall call his name Emmanuel. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. So that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. No, nothing. Nothing good is able to come out of that human race. Nothing can come out even of that woman. They say immaculate. No, 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 no. No, she is also conceived and born in sin. Can bring forth nothing clean. Or if there will be something good, the Lord has to put it there. He has to put it there. And that's now the promise. That's now the promise. The Lord says when it is all a stump, when it is all dead, and when it is all worthless, and when it is all hopeless, then I will come. Then I will come. And then I will give life. Life. Unto that dead tree. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Oh, in him was life. In him was life, John says, and the life was the light of men. And if that was so in the creation, because he was speaking about the creation, how much more is that life now in the redemption? Because after the fall was death. There was life to begin with, but after the fall was death. But now that new life, the new life, believe that, children, boys and girls, the new life, that is a life greater and more precious and more beautiful than the first life. All that is the wisdom of God, and that new life that is coming out of where? That is coming out of that root. That root of that promise, that covenant, that the Lord has sworn. All that is Christ himself being born out of that human race, that new life coming out of his life, coming out of his suffering, coming out of his death, and coming out of his resurrection, coming out of him, coming out of him who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. All that is the life that is flowing out of the branch, that is that living branch, and that is coming out and appearing within that church that is dead. Oh, that little sprout. That is what it is. It is just a little beginning. Oh, you see that sometimes, right, children? Just coming up. It's so tender. We think of the Lord Jesus, how tender that he was. The beginning of that life, just as a little child. And all the winds of persecution that had come against him, Herod in his fury, his devilish fury, and that the Lord Jesus has to flee already when he is young. And from the right and from the left, oh, there is nothing but persecution against this tender branch, meek as he went through this world, and yet, oh, he cannot be destroyed. He cannot be thrown over the hill. No, everything in that whole world, all under his control. And he will be a light. He will be a light to lighten the Gentiles, dead in trespasses and in sins. And he will be the glory of thy people Israel, who were like a dead stump. Like a dead stump. That's what Simeon sang of him, and Anna, oh, she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel, or who did mourn over that death, and who did desire and look and wait for that fulfillment of the promises. There was life. Oh, there was life in their death. Oh, did it ever appear in your death? Did it ever appear? Oh, in all of your wretchedness and in all of your misery, all this little sprout that comes from the Lord himself and his congregation, the Advent season, it has everything to do with the promises of God. What do we think of these promises of God? Maybe we have no work at all with them. Maybe we have never thought about them. Maybe we come to God's house and we go away again to all of our worldly things. How is that possible? That speaks about life. Have we no desire for life? No. We do not. We do not. Why not? Because we have a life. We have a life in this world. And that is enough. I see no beauty in another life. I don't need another life. I do not seek another life. The congregation, the life we have in this world, is soon done. We don't know when. We don't know when. And then we have forfeited. We have forfeited this life. Say, I'm dead. Cannot desire. Oh, do not be too callous. Do not be so callous. No. The Lord declares in His Word that there is life, spiritual life. It is an eternal life. It is a blessed life. Or it is a future life, but it's also a present life. And that life is to be had. Or will you set that life before your eyes? Will you meditate upon that life that you may desire, that your heart may be given to go out after that life and to see the vanity of the life that is here below? But maybe we hope. But maybe we hope upon these promises. The promises that are declared unto that visible church. And yet we have never been humbled. And we say that is not necessary. We don't need to be cut off. No, we can receive the promise just as we are. Oh, then congregation, we have a false hope. Then we have a false hope that is serious. Oh, do not be like Judah, whom Jeremiah could not convince that they had to bow their necks and that they had to acknowledge the Lord for the punishment of their own iniquities. You hope and you assume maybe that you are included. But remember that that promise has an address, that there are objects, and that the Lord says how that promise is going to be fulfilled. Oh, what do we need to know? We need to know the suitability of that promise. That promise is suitable. That promise is fitting for such a one, even as I am. What is that? That is that cut off stump. Oh, be warned. Be warned. Do not appear one day at that gate of heaven saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, only to hear, I never knew you. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. Maybe congregation, there are indeed those whose harps are hung upon the willows. You hear the mocking. You hear the mocking of the enemy as you sit in your despondency and you wait. You thought before, I was going so good. That love, all the love of the Lord that was poured out in your soul. Oh, there were so many desires. Oh, you can speak of it. Oh, no, you do not speak of it. You are not there to speak of it. Oh, you think of it. Say, oh, that was years ago. That was years ago. And I went up with such joy to that house of the Lord with the multitude. But it's all gone. It's all gone. Now I am so dead. I'm a dry tree. I'm a dead tree, no fruit from this tree forever. Oh, it is so hopeless. It is so impossible for me. Oh, that promise of the Lord that concerns a dead stump. A dead stump. Do you believe that? There is a reason why the Lord has to strip everything away. Oh, there is a reason why he has to take away from us even what were our former hopes. You say, I thought I received that from the Lord. But what have we done with it? And then we have builded ourselves up, maybe in false expectation. And now that is so necessary that the Lord breaks us down. Why? He says, I am not come to call the righteous. No. But sinners to repentance. And the Lord has to make us so, because we will not become a sinner of ourselves. Filthy rags. Filthy rags. Not our unrighteousnesses, no. But our righteousnesses. Is that all it is? Is that all now that is left? His filthy rags. And has the Lord now broken down what you thought was a kingdom, and you thought it was his kingdom within your heart? So you say it is all gone. Oh, the hope, congregation, is in the root. The hope is in the root. The promise of the Lord can never be broken. That promise still lives. And when our tree, the tree of our life, when that is cut down, oh, then that little sprout, that will appear. If it tarry, wait for it will surely come and not tarry. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in the knowledge of ourselves. Show unto us who and what we are, and give us alone that hope in thee that will stand in that great day when we have to pass out of this life and enter into eternity. Oh, that we may be given to know and the blessed comfort of that hope that is in thee. And wilt thou forgive all of our sins and bring us safely home? Give us to keep thy day holy. And give us an interest and a desire also to read thy word and what is based thereon, and grant thy blessing upon it. Help each one of us in the coming week. And wilt thou be with those friends who hope to make confession of faith before the consistory in this week? Wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand? And wilt thou give them thy blessing from above? And may it be also in the midst of us, O Lord, that thou may remember us when we meet together. And wilt thou keep each one of us, and wilt thou bless all the labors of our hands. For Jesus' sake, amen. 186, all the stanzas. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me and lift me up on high. 186, stanzas 1 through 5. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.